these people. And that's exactly what Zechariah is telling them to do. He says, don't repent. Don't be like your fathers who failed to heed the words of the prophets. And then he goes on to say, where are they now? Where are all these fathers at? You know, in conjunction with where you are. So just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us according to our ways, according to our deeds, so has he has dealt with us as well. God did what he said he would do. You remember, we talked a little bit about that before, that we talked about the curses that Moses had given them back in Deuteronomy, and how God had told them their actions, what would happen. And now we see all these things that happen. And they were carried away into captivity. And now it's about time for them, well, that their return is already on the way. In Zechariah, the first chapter, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord to Zechariah. And he was saying, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. So he wanted the people to turn back to him and to walk in his ways. So we see that God did what he said he would do. And then Zechariah sees a man riding a white horse, a red horse, I'm sorry, and he stood down among the myrtle trees. You say, what in the world is this? You know, somebody on a man on a horse. And not only that, but he was kind of down in the bottom. And not only that, but he saw some red horses that were speckled and white. And you can kind of understand how Zechariah would think, what's this all about? You know, what's this vision about? Well, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And if we look a little further, it says, and we walk to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quiet. Well, you can see how he would be questioning what in the world is all this about. So he keeps watch and knows what's happening upon the earth. That's what these riders, these horses were doing, more or less, with their riders. And he knows what the nations have done to his people. And so, Jehovah has come now, in response to the need that Jerusalem has for the need of his mercy, and for his, and he will protect and care for his people as well. Zechariah sees the four horns that's lifted up, and when he lifted up his eyes, he saw these, and his question was, what are these? And he answered me, these are the horns of the nations which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Who was those nations that scattered them? What was the first one that came up that scattered them? Remember Daniel's picture of the man? What was the top one? Babylon. What was the second one? Medo-Persia. Good. Third one. Grecian. Fourth one. Roman. Very good. All right. So those are the ones that he's talking about here that have scattered his people. And so the Lord, he says, showed him four carpenters or 4 hours, more or less. These are they have come to break or bind those who have cast out the horn of the Gentiles, to cast out the Gentiles. which lifted up their horn over the land and of Judah to scatter them. God's going to bring judgment to these nations because what were they doing to these people? Were they giving them a lot of headaches in where they were? Well, to some degree they were, but we know in Babylon they weren't, right? They were told to go there and set up business, that kind of thing. And so some of them, in some places though, were treated bad because that's why God is doing this to those nations. Zechariah sees a man with a measuring line, and we're told on down in the chapters, and he's told the man is to measure Jerusalem to see what the width and the length of it actually is. He's told that Jerusalem will be inhabited as a town without walls, and God will be a fire or a wall of fire around her, and he will be the glory in her midst. As we look at this and we think of this particular thing, we're told that Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls. No need of walls. What Jerusalem is he talking about here? This is the new Jerusalem, that's right. And the new Jerusalem will be different from the old one. There will be no physical constraints or walls, and yet they will be protected by God. Zion is encouraged to flee from the land of the north, to escape those who dwell with the daughters of Babylon. In other words, he was encouraging some of those people who were satisfied to stay there, you get out. You come on back to Jerusalem. And so, God will shake his hand against these nations. And he will plunder who plundered Zion. For he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. We hear of phrase a lot of times, the apple of my eye. It's found also, David wrote of that in Psalms 17 chapter. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. So, we see that David also used that same kind of phraseology. It goes on to say, sing and rejoice. God is coming to dwell in your midst. Many nations will actually be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. I want to point that out. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord. And as you see that, what comes to mind? All right, the Gentile world will be part of that kingdom at one point in time. But they're told to leave the world of wickedness and dwell in the realm of righteousness that God will provide. Well, this Gentile, we're told in the New Testament, in Matthew the 28th chapter, to go where? 28:19 says, go all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that's what we're to do even today, and this is what was actually thought of back in these days. However, Zechariah didn't know all of this. That's the key to it. He wanted to know, like many of the other prophets, wanted to know what all this meant. And he was only given a certain thing to know. Zechariah is shown Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord rebuked Satan. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, which were taken away. See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I have clothed you with riches, with rich robes. These are things that God did for Joshua. The angel of the Lord admonishes Joshua, if you walk in my ways and keep my commandments, you will judge my house and have charge of my courts. You and your companions are a wondrous sign, for behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. The branch you see referred to several places, but as we look at Isaiah, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. In Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. God wants his people, and as well as the leaders, the priests, to purify themselves and dwell in righteousness. The angel of the Lord awakened Zechariah and asked what he sees. And he said, a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top. Two olive trees by it, one on the left, one on the right. Well, you can kind of get an idea of what he saw. He saw this candlestick. But look at the top. You got a bowl right at the top. And you got a tubes that are flowing from both trees, continually flowing oil into that bowl. And then it's feeding all of the flames. Kind of like, almost like an eternal flame, as we would think today. And that was an indication of how God is going to be watching over all of these people. But Zechariah asked, what is this, my Lord? What are these? And he's told that a symbol of God's continuing presence, his spirit is light, to help Zerubbabel complete his task of rebuilding the temple. He goes on to say, don't despise the small things. Although the temple was rebuilt, it was far inferior to what Solomon had built years ago. And a lot of you remember a lot of the older people who came back and they saw as the temple was being built, were they happy? Older people were not happy. They remembered the glory of that old temple that Solomon built. It was a majestic piece of equipment, building. And so when they saw it, they actually cried. They wept. And you got some who were younger that didn't remember seeing it, and they were happy because the temple was being built. They were happy about it. Well, the thing is, even though it was inferior, the Lord thought that it would be sufficient to accomplish his plans. The Lord had plans far beyond what the physical temple would withstand. And goes on to tell us that Zechariah sees a flying scroll about 30 feet by 15 feet wide. And the curses against those who do evil are written upon the great scroll. God does not intend to tolerate wickedness. The curse will enter the house of one who does evil and will destroy it. You see that this scroll some have mentioned that it's about the same size as the old tabernacle. But whether that's got anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But the scroll was shown to them. And it deals with people that where God will not tolerate weakness in this new world, this new Jerusalem. He's not going to tolerate people who are wicked. The angel then focuses Zechariah's attention once again to the sky, where there was a grain basket with a woman inside. These are some weird visions, as you can very well tell. But they've all got a meaning, and a lot of the meanings are not given. But it's a great study, and you have to really dig into it to really be able to get all of these things out of it. And you'll find that there's a lot of people who say a lot of things about some of these visions and stuff that you really can't put any strength into them. There's nothing to back up a lot of it, what people say. But the woman that was inside represented wickedness. And the lid on the basket was put on and replaced, closed up more or less. And Zechariah saw two other women flying in, and they picked up the basket and took it to the land of Shinar. Where's Shinar? All right, in Babylon area, Shinar. The wickedness will be found among the world, but it will not be tolerated among God's people. Remember a story in the New Testament of when, right after the church began, you had a couple that came in and brought money, and they had sold land, and they said, "This is money we got from selling the land. What's the problem?" They lied about it, didn't they? They lied to God, actually, what it said. And that's found in Acts of chapter Ananias and Sapphira. But as we continue on, we see that the wickedness in the New Jerusalem will not be tolerated at all. Zechariah then sees four chariots coming from between two mountains. And that's just kind of a artist rendition of it, where they were coming between the two mountains, one mountain on this side and one on this side. You got them coming down the middle. And these are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station and before the Lord of all the earth. Seems to represent the forces that go forth from the Lord into all the earth and to bring about His will. Zechariah is told to meet some men who have come from Babylon, Kaldai, Tobiah, Jediah. Okay, I'm not great with pronunciation. But who have come from Babylon at the house of Joshua, the high priest. There they would take some of the silver and gold and set crowns on his head. This was symbolizing of the joining of the two anointed offices of priest and king. The one prophesied is the branch that we read earlier, Isaiah 11, Jeremiah 23. And he shall build the true temple. He shall be king and priest and bring peace for his people. If we look at Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, they're made of necessity, the chains also of the law. Jesus was from what tribe? He was from Judah. What tribe were the priests from? Levi. Okay, so it had to be a change in the law for him to assume both of these roles. The people questioned if they could continue to weep and fast in the month, in the fifth month, as they had been doing. That was one of their feasts that they normally did. But it was a time when they would weep and fast. And so they want to know if they should keep doing that. God asked, if you really did it for him, did you do it for me? God asked him, well, no, they did it for themselves. And so it would be have been better if they had obeyed the prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited before. We know that we need to obey God, and we learn that a man had problems with that years ago, back in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, when Saul went to destroy the Amalekites, and what did he do? He brought some of them back. He brought some of the cattle back, and Samuel told him that it was better, obey rather than to sacrifice the fat of women. So we go back to that time to learn that obedience is what God wanted. That's what God wanted from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, he said, you could eat of all the trees, just one. You don't eat of it. You don't even touch it. So, you know, they had the choice. But it was what God wanted them to do was to obey him. And he still wants that from us today. God promises his favor to those who have returned from captivity back in those days. And he said, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Their fasting occasions will turn from a time of mourning to occasions of rejoicing. Chapters 9 through 11, it talks about the destruction of the nations and the deliverance of God's own people and of the Good Shepherd. Chapters 12 through 14 talks about the holy and indestructible nature of spiritual Israel. Here we have some of the things that Zechariah talks about the Messiah, some predictions that he tells of. In Zechariah the 9th chapter, verse 9, here he says, greatly, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of a foal of an ass. You see this coming true in Matthew 21st chapter in verse 5, where we're told, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon the ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. And also in John 12, verse 15, about the same thing. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the king cometh. And he came just as Zechariah had said hundreds of years before this. when things come to pass that have been prophesied, what do we know? What do we know about the prophet? He was from God. That's exactly right. And we need to keep that kind of thing in mind as we study from time to time. The Messiah is also sold for 30 pieces of silver in Zechariah the 11th chapter in verse 13. He talks about that. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. We see that fulfilled in Matthew 26th chapter, verse 15. And said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him to you. And they coveted with him 30 pieces of silver. So we see these same, many of these predictions that actually are coming true. He sold for 30 pieces of silver. Also, it tells about the Savior being pierced in Zechariah 12th chapter, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And we see that found in John the 19th chapter. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. He was also smitten, according to Zechariah, the 13th chapter, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Matthew, the 26th chapter, and verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And also in Mark, it says about the same thing in Mark 14, verse 27, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. So we see that Zechariah done some predictions of the Messiah. And we can glean from this things that actually did take place to our Lord. Yes, go ahead. That's right. Brent was mentioning that Zechariah mentioned he's pointing to a time ahead when all of this is going to take place. That's exactly right. And by it coming to pass, we know that he is indeed a true prophet of God. Well, we find that the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, I guess that's correct, prophet prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Zodak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophet of God were with them and helping them. So we know that they did get it started again. Fiction to start it. And then we have Tatanai, I guess, the governor over the land beyond the Euphrates wanted to know what was happening. He saw this going on, just like it had problems before. But the eye of the Lord was upon the elders of the Jews. Hananiah sends a letter to Darius, the king, questioning the Jews' building and their response. And a search was made, and a copy of Cyrus' decree was found in Acmathea, province of Media. And Darius sends word back to Tatanaiah that he is not to interfere with this work of building the temple. You don't mess with those folks. As a matter of fact, you help support it financially. And they were even to provide animals for sacrifices if they needed them. And a warning was given to anyone who would alter this decree. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. This would have been somewhere in the February-March time frame, and one month prior to the first month, which was Nisan. And if you remember, the Passover was observed in the first month. Remember that? I'm in the month Nisan. So the children celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. When the children of Israel who had returned from captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nation of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. In other words, they cleansed themselves and put away their wickedness, things they had been dealing with. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hand in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And we also see that nothing is too hard for the Lord to accomplish. We know that today. When we have something that's on our mind, when someone is in need of our prayer, and we pray to our Father, we know that He hears our prayers. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. In other words, before Zerubbabel, if you're a mountain and he wants that level, it'd be level. We had that much ability to ask for God's help. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace to it. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. Don't despise the little things. The hand of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of the temple. His hands shall also finish it, we're told. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoice to see a plumb line in the land in the hand of Zerubbabel. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. The reminds us of Matthew, the 18th chapter, where, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it'd be better for him to have a millstone hanging about his neck and drown in the depths of the sea." We need to be ready at all times to adhere to God's word in everything that we do. If you'll go in Bob's book to the appendix and look up Zechariah, there's a lot more in there that you can look at. So anyway, thank y'all for your